talk about the events leading up to and the night you made a break for it to get out of Gold Base, out of the desert compound of Sea Org, of which you were a member in your book, Blown for Good.
Okay, well, basically what had happened was the days leading up to that, I was accused of embezzling a large amount of money from Scientology. And it was an approved thing that I would sell a certain amount of equipment and I would be able to use it to buy equipment for my area. And in the end, it just turned into a witch hunt, and they tried to basically light me up for a $250 discrepancy of funds that were missing.
Wait. $250,000.
No, $250. 250.
You were accused of embezzling $250.
Well, no, they accused me of embezzling like $13,000.
Okay.
But they had the money, and only $250, which was like shipping and handling on eBay fees or something like that. And because they didn't approve paying those fees, then it was a discrepancy, and I owed the money.
Okay. So you owed them $250. That was the core of it. Okay.
That, which I offered was like, whatever, here's $250. We're done. No.
Well,
you're
going
to go to the rehabilitation project for us, and that's it. You're done.
Why don't you just take it out of the thousands of dollars you haven't paid me over the last 15 years?
Yeah. Okay. Exactly, right. Yeah. Put it on my tab, honey.
Okay.
So basically they said you're going to go to the rehabilitation project for us, which is basically like a internment camp. It's like Sea Org slavery on steroids. You get paid, I think you get paid $13 a week when you're in the RPF. And you work a lot more, and you do hard labor, and then you get interrogations or corrective Scientology counseling for up to 10 years people have been on the program. Okay.
And so you're accused of this. So that for you was the breaking point?
Yeah, there was other things, and I talk about that in the book, but there were other things that that were stacking on this, getting physically assaulted by David Miscavige and slugged several times and, you know, seeing what's happening to people, and I'm starting to come around. And just as a pure coincidence, I had been listening to a little AM radio, and I had been catching some coast-to-coast shows and some KFI AM 640 shows, and I kind of started to... Like, they're talking about stuff in China, and I'm going, like, that's my life. What do you mean this is like that? You know, I'm starting to figure it all out. So,
they're talking about China, and you're going, China, shmina. That's
exactly.
Right. That's,
I'm like,
right.
I'm not in China. I'm in Gilman Hot Springs, and I got it worse than those guys. So then the threat of the rehabilitation project force hits me, and then I'm like, that's it. You know, I've given you everything, and this is what I get back? I don't think so. So the next morning, I decided, that's it, I'm gone. So I had a motorcycle, and I packed a few things, and I got on the motorcycle. And now I lived directly adjacent to the property. I lived right next to the property. And the houses that were there were basically somewhat connected to the overall compound. And there were cameras on the houses, and they could basically monitor everything that was happening at the houses just like it was the property. When I pulled out of my driveway to leave, there was a security vehicle parked in the house next door because the gentleman next door had blown, which is the Scientology term for leaving without authorization when you're in the Sea Org. And he had blown several times before, so he was under 24-hour watch by security. Because he was a security threat that could leave again. So the security force was parked in front of his berthing, which was right next to mine. So when I drove out, within 5 seconds, they were following me. And they knew, I mean, I was packed. I had a duffel bag with my clothes. They knew I was hightailing it out of there. I drove, I got onto the highway. I drove down the highway. They followed me. They were directly behind me. As I drove, it was raining. I was on a motorcycle. As we were driving, they pulled up next to me, and they said, pull over, you have to come back, you can't leave, and I was just like, forget it, I'm out of here. They proceeded to close in on me as we were driving along the road, and over a period of time, they just nudged me, and they basically ran me off the road in an SUV, the security SUV, Nissan Pathfinder, black. And I crashed. When I crashed, My stuff went into the road. I fell off the bike. It was raining, so I got all muddy and I got all messed up. The handle, my clutch cable, my clutch lever broke off. My mirrors broke off. The bike was, it got flipped, so the carburetor was all flooded or whatever. When that happened, the security guard jumped out of the SUV and he pulled the key out of my bike so that I couldn't get back on the bike and start it and drive off again. When he did that, I said, give me the key back. He didn't. I walked into the middle of the highway and I started waving my hands at cars driving by. As soon as I did that, he threw the key right back at me. I took the key, put it in the bike, stood the bike back up, grabbed my stuff off the highway, put it back on the bike, and I couldn't start it. It was basically messed up. So I had to bump start it. I bump start it and I get going. I'm going like 5-10 miles an hour now. I can't even, it's like the bike is totally messed up. And then they start following me again. Within seconds, they sped off in the other direction, pulled a U-turn, and just sped off. And then seconds after that, two sheriff's deputies came screaming down the highway. One of them went past, and then the other one pulled a U-turn and then pulled me over. So as soon as that happened, I went, okay, somebody called the police when I was waving in the road or when we were fighting over the key or whatever. And they have police scanners in the security SUV and in the main security booth. So they heard the call go out, obviously. And when they heard the call out go out, they turned around and went back because they knew they were going to get nabbed. Okay, so then the police asked me what's happening. And I didn't want to cause any trouble. I mean, I've been there for 15 years. I've been out for 5 minutes. I've now had a motor vehicle accident, and I've been chased down. And now sheriff's deputies are involved. I don't want to make any trouble for these guys. I just want to get out of there. So when the police asked me what's happening, and I told them, listen, I'm going to see my dad. These guys wanted me to, they wanted me to stay, and I need to go see my dad. So, you know, we were talking about that, and they're like, well, are you hurt? I'm like, no, I just want to get out of here. And the public, as we're having this conversation, the public relations officer for Golden Arrow Productions pulls up next to us and asks the cop, what's wrong with Mark? And immediately he recognizes her as from Golden Arrow Productions, and he basically says, nothing, you know, move along, it's just a routine traffic stop or whatever. And then he says, where are you trying to get to? I'm like, I'm trying to get to the U-Haul in town. He's like, okay, good, we'll get you there. So they proceed to escort me, that deputy and another deputy and two sheriff's vehicles, to the U-Haul. As we're driving, another vehicle from Golden Arrow Productions is following behind us because I can only drive like 20 miles an hour max on the road because the bike's all messed up. So this person is following behind us. They pull that person over. This is all detailed out, and copies of the police reports are in the book, this, how this entire thing went down. Both officers filled out police reports, and it happened exactly as I write in the book. And they basically had to pull over the Golden Arrow Productions employees and tell them, if you keep following us, we're going to arrest you for interfering with a peace officer. And at that point, they were able to get me to the U-Haul so that the Scientology people didn't know where I was going. And then from there, I, you know, rented a vehicle and with some help from my father who paid for it over the phone. And it was a whole rigmarole to get a U-Haul that I could throw my bike into and then get out of town.